Father, we bless you in this moment. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for revealing yourself to us in us, showing us who you've made us to be, who you've formed us to function as, showing us to be more like you. And so we thank you that you pull all the characteristics and the attributes and all the great and mighty things like you in us, and that you begin to extract those things and pull those things out of us and make us more like your express image. God, your expressed image. Make us like Jesus. I know we got something to do with it, God, but we need you to direct and to guide and to pull every bit of life that you put in us out of us and to others. Help us love one another, God. Help us love others more than we've ever loved them before. Help us to love them like we love ourselves. Change us, God, from the inside. At this particular moment, God, I speak on behalf of everybody under the sound of my voice. And we yield up all the things in us that's not like you. We lay them out right now. We lay them on the altar. We put them out of ourselves. And we yield our whole complete selves to you so you can do surgery. Touch us in a special way, God. Help us to unlearn the things we never should have learned. Reverse those ways in us that are not like your ways, God. We yield. Yeah, we thank you for it. So we thank you for it. We thank you for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Change us from the inside, God. It's what we need. It's what we expect. It's what we look forward to. No more religion, no more rhetoric, no more form of godliness. We want to be the express image of you. Let people see you when they see us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We've got so much to be thankful for. And not just the immediate things. We can be thankful for the immediate things, and thank God for that. But not just for the immediate things, but there's so many things that we should be thankful for before we were even here. Amen. Like before you were even born, there were things to be. You came into this world full of gratitude. Amen. Or you should have. Yeah. One of the first things you should have learned, and I'm going to deal with that in a minute. One of the first things you should have learned, coming up, there are things we learn as children. And what we learn as children becomes the foundation for our functions in life. As a whole, some things good, some things bad. Sometimes we have problems owning up to the crazy stuff we've learned, and we have tendency to have amnesia. But just own up to that stuff for a minute. When you own up to it, you can give it up. You know, I can't give you nothing I don't own. If I don't own something, I can't give you something. I can't give my cares or my shortcomings or my weaknesses to God until I own up to them. Until I decide to own my shortcoming, my weakness, own the fact that maybe I was taught some things coming up that I shouldn't have been taught. Until I own the fact. I don't blame it on nobody else, though. Right now, we say, till you come into the age of accountability. Right? Yeah, until you understand, just own up for your own life. Good and bad. Own up to those things and you can cast those things out. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? But we learn a lot of stuff and we pick up a lot of things There's a lot of religion in us. I ain't getting no amens there. You know you got some religion in you. You know you got a lot of religion in you. You learn some principles that you call Jesus that Jesus ain't never say. Yeah, come on, amen. Everybody say amen. I know how we get up in church. We just say, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Start quoting scriptures that ain't there. You quoting little nursery rhyme sayings and you say the Bible say it. You know, teach a man to fish and here, you give a man a fish, he eat for a day. Teach him how to fish. Y'all, you know you said something like that before. And the scripture says you do err not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. Y'all know, amen, anybody? Amen. I'm by myself? No, anybody. Yeah. Just start throwing stuff out there, out of religion, out of rhetoric. The truth is there should be more power. Hold on. There should be more expressed power. It's not that you don't have the power, but there should be more expressed power. Should be more expressed change. It's not that change isn't in you, but there should be more expressed change. You understand what I'm saying? Change inside of a box ain't changed for nobody until it's released. Greater is he that is where?
In
who?
Me.
Say me.
Me.
Come on, say it loud. Say me.
Me.
Do your finger like me. Say me.
Me.
See, the greatness is in you.
Yeah.
Say in me loud.
In me.
Greater is he that's in you. Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ. Who can do all things?
I
say, I can.
I
come on, say it loud. Say, I can do all things.
We're
sitting up here waiting for God to do something that he enabled you to do. The scripture doesn't say God can do all things through Jesus who strengthens you. I can. Say, I can.
I can.
But see, you don't even know you can because you don't even know who you are. Now, don't get on me tonight. Don't put your brakes on me tonight. And don't put your religious rhetoric on me tonight. And don't put your ministry school on me tonight. I don't want none of that tonight. We all free-minded, free understanding, and we're learning like babies. Except you become as little children, you won't enter into the kingdom. Okay, all right? So we're learning. Everybody say, I'm learning.
I'm learning.
And so we've got to, the main thing we've got to learn, and the main thing we've learned over and over again, the number one problem that we have, it is not things that's going on in this world. It is not sickness and disease. It's not poverty. It's not any of those things that are outside of us. The main problem is we don't know what's on the inside of us. The number one problem we have is identity crisis. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And you think you know this already. Just listen to me, please. The number one problem that you have is identity crisis. This is the reason you can be fearful in a moment that you should win. This is a moment where you should panic when ain't enough money right there at that moment. These are the reasons that we do these things, because we don't know who we are. Oh, I'm going to help. She said, help us. I'm going to help you. I heard a statement. I was sitting at the lunch table with Apostle and First Lady, and we were sitting there. And so she was reading a book, and then, you know, a statement came up, and it says, and he said it in church maybe a couple sentences ago. And he said, if the premise is wrong, I need for deep words, I'm trying to be deep, premise. That's the first thing. That's the initial thing. That's the foundation. That's the first thing you learn, right? If the premise is wrong, right, then no matter how sterling the efforts afterwards, they'll be incorrect because the thing that you learned, the thing that it's based on is wrong. Right? Take any basic thing that you've learned how to do, how to wash clothes. If you learn the wrong way to do it at first, you're going to continue, no matter how bad you want to wash clothes, and no matter how dirty your clothes are and they need to be washed, you will not do them correctly because you didn't learn it the So can we conclude, and can we decide to take the fact that if I've learned it from the beginning the wrong way, then no matter how sterling my prayers are, or no matter how sterling my efforts are, how perfect attendance my church visits are, no matter how much I give, no matter how much I do, no matter how much I shout, no matter how much I sing, if the initial thing that I learned about myself is wrong, all of these things is vain. Corinthians says, he says, though I speak with the tongues of angels, and I prophesy, and I give my body to be burned, and I do all these things that I'm supposed to do but have not, it counts nothing. Oh, whoa. That makes me nervous for a quick second, because that means that I could really be doing a lot of good stuff but making no progress. I'm on a treadmill and never moving anywhere. So the premise, the first thing that I learned, the beginning. Everybody say the beginning. So however I learned, however I function from the start, right, it'll set the course of how I function from here on out. Sometimes we can be way in left field, and it's only because of how we started flying the plane. There's our pilot told us this years back that, you know, there's a set of coordinates. They call it triangulating when they set the computers in the plane. It triangulates, and it finds out where you are on the earth. I mean, it's some kind of magnet thing they got in there where it finds out where you are, and then you set the coordinates for where you want to go. Now, the coordinates have to be correct. No, in Baton Rouge. No, the coordinates got to be correct in Baton Rouge, not in the air. You don't fix the coordinates in the air. And I guess if you're in the air and you're going the wrong way, you can try to adjust it. I mean, we've taken different routes because of weather and different things of that nature in the air. And so thank God we can detour. Amen. But the coordinates had to be set properly, because if your coordinates are not set properly, you know, when you get in the air, they put it on autopilot and that thing flies itself. It goes right where it's supposed to go. But if we don't have the coordinates set, you can be a degree off at the beginning. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. You can be 1 degree off at the beginning. And over miles and miles and hours of hours, you were supposed to be landing in Detroit, and now you're in New Jersey. Come on, find your life for a second. Self-realization. Find your life for a quick second. Find your life. You ever pray to prayer, believe God for something, but you end up somewhere else? Was life supposed to go one way and it ended up another? And then we blame a lot of different things, and we blame ourselves, and we do a lot of different things. But sometimes it's just the coordinates that were set from the beginning. It's the coordinate that you set, that you put in it. There might have been just 1 little degree off. You know, it's funny because the scripture says, and I said it a minute ago, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That means I can actually walk in a form that looks like God, but it ain't him. It's a possibility. Hold on, church. Everybody say amen. Come on, say it loud. Say amen. It's a possibility that I can be doing all of the right things, but don't be the truth. Now, this is what I need. This is what we always need, okay? All right? I'm going to speak for myself, and then I'm going to talk about you, all right? I'm a type of person, sometimes I think I'm smart. Anybody else? Okay, y'all playing with me over here. You think you might know some things, right? And you kind of got a gist of how your life going to be and how you want to be, and ain't nobody going to change me. And you kind of think that you know it. So sometimes that's the thing that keeps you from growing. Because you think you always know and keeps you from growing. All right? So, what I'm asking for when I get into this scripture, what I'm asking for from you, and anybody watching online, what I'm asking for, don't get over me. It's not about how old I am or my teaching or whatever. Get over that for a quick second. Just catch the message, okay? Mm-hmm. Catch the message and catch some self-realization and find yourself. What's the number one rule in finding a map and in using a map? Find out where you are. We were just talking about the plane. It triangulates and find out where you are before it can take you to where you need to be going or your desired destination. You can't get there until you find out where you are. If you don't know where you are, you're lost, and how you going to go somewhere? Seek and save that which is. And so you've got to find out, find yourself and find you and find where we are and have some self-realization. Pride comes for the fall. Ain't no time for ego or thinking that, you know, well, I've been a Christian for a long time, so I know. No, stop. Yes, sir. What are you producing? Stop. Who's changing in your neighborhood? Stop. Who is in your family member that you've been praying for the past 20 years and you didn't produce the power to change them? Come on, people. I want to be like Jesus, because he's already enabled me to do that. Huh? But see, I don't realize that Christ is in me. Amen. As me. Yes, sir. I don't know that yet. I'm still trying to prove myself to God. I'm still trying to prove myself to the church. I'm still trying to prove that I'm a good Christian. I'm still trying to prove. No, you have nothing to prove. Right. God loves you just like you are. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say it again. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Hold on. Most of the time, that ain't most of y'all first Bible story. That ain't most of our first Bible lesson when we were children. Amen, come on. The first one was, you better not do that. Come on, amen. You better not. They got a heaven and a hell. Amen, come on, raise your hands at me. Come on, your first Bible lesson, wherever you got it from, your first Bible lesson was, and you know, God don't like that. So now your premise is built on what God don't like. No matter how sterling your efforts, you're still trying to prove yourself to God. Don't give me a scripture about study to show yourself approved unto God. We go to the context. I read my Bible too. So when I say a word, y'all get your trigger words. No, but leave that alone. You up here trying to prove that you're good enough. I'm going to trip you out for a quick second. the premise. So what, do you talk to God? Come on, answer. Do you talk to God? You pray and you talk to God, right? And hopefully he talk back to you, right? Right? But you reach out. When you pray, you're talking to God, huh? What are you doing? What did that start at? What was the first function of that? I was riding in the car the other day, and he really dropped the bomb on me real quick. And then I believe, when we get in this, I believe that you'll find yourself and find out why today, in 2017, you are still functioning like things that happened in the beginning. Let me give you a little lesson. When Adam and Eve ate from the tree, of knowledge of good and evil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Y'all familiar with that, right? You got the tree of life, which is one singular thing to focus on, and then the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which diverts your focus. Double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? All his ways. So immediately that tree was caused to make double-mindedness. But see, when man ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was mankind deciding that they wanted to be God. And they wanted to decide what was good and what was evil. This is what I'm saying. You remember the serpent? I ain't got time to go read it. Serpent say, you'll be just like God. Although you were already made. Identity crisis. How can somebody fool you into trying to get something that you already got? You got $20 in your hand. But I say, hey, you know, if you get over here, you can get $20 in your hand. But you got $20 in your hand already. No, no, $20. Quit $20. $2 million. My mind. You got it right there. You know, Do you know your social security number? Yes, yeah. You know your phone number? Yes. Do you know your address? Yes. Do you know your bank account number? Sometimes. Do you know your bank account number? Right. You got somewhere sucked off where you can find it, right? All right. Do you know? I got this. You know your PIN number? Right. But if I can get you to forget that you Roderick, and get you to forget what's in your mind. I'll put a bunch of other junk in there to make you forget what's going on, and you can't even find your PIN number, then you can never access what's already yours. Because I made you forget who you were. If I make you forget who you are, then you can't find your way home. You can't find your address. You can't find Doug. The things that already belong to you, you can't find them if I get you to forget who you are. So now here we are in the garden. And the serpent has made. Now, this is what I want you to do for a quick second, all right? Let's put ourselves in a story. See, the Bible's a story about you. All right, we try to disconnect ourselves from David when we got a lot of David in us. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. We try to disconnect ourselves from Job and all the different ones because we don't like what they did. But you got a little Job in there. You got a little craziness in you. Own up to it so you can give it up. Come on, own up to it so you can give it up. Put yourself in the story for a quick second. All right? Don't disconnect yourself from Adam. All right? I need you to do this for a quick second. Because mankind, God made man in his image. That means all of mankind. You just thinking singular one man. He's really talking about mankind. He's really talking about the whole situation. So now here we go. We chose. We be choosing what's good and evil. Find yourself. Come on, find yourself. Come on. Come on, find yourself. Y'all know we be eating off that tree every day. They got a tree of life. And we be trying to figure out, is this good or bad? Amen. Loud. We eat off that tree on the regular. You know, you got those choices almost every day. So now, if Adam is a representation of mankind at that particular time. This is what I'm trying to tell you. All right? Are y'all listening to me? You talk to God? The first time there's a recording, I read my Bible. You believe the Bible? I can't hear you. Do you believe the Bible? You don't know you want to answer right now because you don't know where I'm going. Do you believe the Bible? The first time recorded of man talking to God, listen to this. Man's first conversation with God was out of fear. Genesis chapter 3, y'all look at Genesis chapter 3. Remember the premise now. Remember the premise. We go through all these different things, and God done made everything. He gave Adam. You don't hear Adam talking. God said, go name all the animals. Go do all these different things. I give you dominion. And then he even told him, don't eat from that tree. You give the tree of life, but don't eat from that tree. Adam never said, why God? He ain't say that because he ain't had to say it. Verse 7, and I just don't have time to go. This will be another time, another message. I don't have time. Actually, if you do a little study, you'll see the story without me telling you about it. But verse 7, so now we know the story. Let me give you a little quick rundown so we ain't got to go into it. The serpent came, started talking. They ate from the tree. Both of them ate from the tree. Both of them ate from the tree. Now they say their eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. Ain't nobody said nothing about being naked before then. We don't even know where naked come from. But all of a sudden, now they're naked. Verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, they didn't ate from the tree, and now they're doing a bunch of stuff they wasn't instructed to do. Now, you're making clothes when I told you to name these animals. Now, you over here protecting yourself when I told you to look for somebody else. I told you to identify creation, and you just trying to protect yourself. Because you think you exposed. Find yourself.
That's right.
Quick second. Find us. We'll find us. How many things you do on a day-to-day basis trying to protect yourself? Can you really protect yourself? Think about it for a minute. Who's the protector? What are you doing? So he's lost assignment. He's lost progress and stopped because he's just looking out for. I didn't have that before service, so thanks, Jesus. It's something I got to do that because you can read over stuff and think you got it. So now they over here making clothes and aproning themselves and trying to protect themselves. Then they heard the voice of the Lord God. So that's something like when you right now is a good thing when you say you heard God, huh? You know what I'm saying? I heard the Lord tell me, and now we shout. We excited about that, right? So it seems like it's going a good way. Right? It seems like that's what we want to hear, the voice of the Lord. Matter of fact, in those moments when I forget who I am, I need to hear the voice of the Lord. Are y'all understanding me? That, when something is going wrong or something is not going like it's supposed to go, that's what I'm looking for. We need a word from the Lord, right? That's your jam, right? We need to hear. And verse 8 said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, I got to deal with something, because if man was evil and cursed and so many bad things because he ate from the tree, right? And I know it's disobedience, but if he had changed character and all these different things and he was so bad, how does he still hear God? You know, you say you out the will of God, you're not going to hear God. You learned that before? Right? But that's the time you need to hear him. You need to hear him louder than any other time. Oh, reverse your mind.
Yeah.
In the garden of cool of day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Uh-oh, now you hide. They heard God and they hid. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence. Why are you hiding from the presence of the Lord? See how confused he got? See, you're hiding from the presence of the Lord. Like you can get away from God. Like you can find a spot. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I'm looking for you. Where you at? Usually I meet you in the middle of the garden. Usually we out here kicking it. Usually we out here having dominion and naming stuff. Nah, I can't find you. Something's wrong. The father came and couldn't find his son. Something's wrong. Where you at? I'm asking you. Where are you? I'm asking you right now. I'm asking myself. I'm asking everybody watching online. Where are you? And so Adam get to talking now. This is the first time Adam talked to God. You see this? Adam said something before, but he wasn't talking to God. He was talking to that woman. Y'all won't hear me. I'm reading my Bible. This is your Bible, too. The first time Adam talked, he was like, ooh, this is woman. You're going to be flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. You a great thing. This is the first time Adam spoke. Find yourself. I ain't going into that message. Where we at? Verse what? And so Adam talking. So he said, I heard thy voice. Wow, in the garden. Wow, it ain't no different than it was before. The same voice of God. I heard thy voice. And what's that next little line? How are you afraid? What is afraid? How did you know how to be afraid? How, first of all, what you scared of? And because you got dominion. And you made an image. Okay, you made an image of the Father. What you scared of? But then you're afraid. But how did you figure out to be afraid? How did you, in your own mind, calculate fear? I heard you. I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And there's so many different problems in that scripture. What you scared of? Who told you you was naked? Where you think you're going to hide at? You clearly don't know God. And so God, being the G that he is, hey, man, let me talk about my God like I want to talk about him. Y'all get off of me. Being the G that he is. Verse 11 said it, and he said, who told you was naked? So immediately he knows, all right, something wrong. So somebody moved. I had a friend of mine that she had to check her child one time, and she said, you know, they was moving a little different today. She said, I could tell they was moving a little different, so something was wrong. You know, you usually know your children. Yeah. Come on, parents, amen. Yeah. It's moving a little different today. Like, it's a little different than how they've been moving. Something going on. Mm-hmm. Something is wrong. Something ain't on the line because they're moving a little different. See, Adam was moving a little different. You function a little different. Now, first of all, you talking. And I never told you to shut up, but I'm just saying. Now you got something to say to me. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on. The Bible good, ain't it? The Bible good, you take a little time with it. The Bible is great. Woo! It's a great situation that finds out about you if you take time and stop being so religious. If we take time and stop being so religious. So now he's talking. So now he got something to say. So now, before everything was taken care of. And then they were communicating, but God was communicating with man, and man was functioning like God. But now he got something back to say. He said, who told you it was naked? And now he said, you know, you're moving different. And hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, you think God knew or not? Hold on. Did God know or not? Come on. He's all-knowing, omniscient. Come on, what y'all call him? Ever-present, always everywhere. Come on. All right, so we got to use what we understand about God. Did God know? So was God asking a rhetorical question? What was this question about? I don't even know if I'm going to get to the next part. What was this question about? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Like he ain't know already. Verse 12. And the man said, God dog it. And the man said, he ain't got a name no more. You know, they didn't list his name. I'll wait till you get it. They ain't saying his name no more. And that man. And the man said, the woman that thou gave to be with me. Now, hold on. I ain't got time to go there, but the first time he was talking, you are flesh of my flesh. Boy, this is a good thing. You're going to be called woman because you came from me. Soon as some stuff start going bad and stuff go wrong, and he responsible, because God didn't tell Eve not to eat from the tree. She told Adam. Your responsibility as a man. All right, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Now, the first thing you're going to say, that's the first thing you're going to tell God. This is the first way that you're going to answer God when God asks you, hey, where you was at? The first thing you're going to say, what you did? The first thing you're going to say, find yourself. It's funny, but find yourself. The woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And I guess he thought that was going to get him out of it. I guess he thought, man, you know, that woman, that is, man, look at it. Man, see, it's her. And so the Lord God started talking to the woman. She said, what is this thou hast done? And what is thy servant's God did he? And the Lord God said, so she get the blaming too. Go to the next scripture. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's everybody else's fault but mine. My shortcoming, my disobedience, my being out of the will, my doing something other than what I was first instructed to do is always somebody else's fault but mine. It's always my mama wasn't there, or my daddy wasn't there, or I got molested, or I got this. I understand that those are real things. I understand, but take ownership for right now. See, man has an inherent problem of not taking ownership of himself. And if you don't, even the addiction class and the alcoholic classes know better than how we do things. At least they say, well, I am an alcoholic. And I don't condone to keep saying I am an alcoholic. Or I would rather say I have an alcohol problem, because I am. You can't connect I am to everything. I am is a powerful thing. Right? But at least you got to own up to it. Ain't nobody put that bottle to your mouth. I don't care if you was a crack baby, and your mom was on. Come on, when you come to the age of accountability, right? And then sometimes God, well, I know God to be good. He'll put people in your way to help you. But even if it wasn't your fault, we wasn't in the garden. We couldn't make. We had results of what happened there that we wasn't there. We didn't get no fruit. We didn't get to eat. But we got to take personal responsibility right now and own of it. To this date, and I say to this day because I make it real dramatic, but to this moment, Adam and Eve never took ownership for what they did. You're not going to find nowhere in Genesis that Adam apologized to God. You ain't hear him say, I'm sorry. Hey, God, I messed up. Now, go back. Read verse 13. Go back to verse 10. I think that's what I'm looking for. Go back to verse 10 real quick. Verse 11. Now you see right there, he says, and he said, who told you was naked? That's one question. Right? Then the next question says, come on, put it on the screen real quick, because I don't want to just sit here. I want to move, but I'll stay here. Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should eat? Now, we all concluded just a minute ago that God already knew, didn't he? Right. Huh? God is all knowing, so he already knew what was going on. So what's going on with this question then? What is happening with God coming to man and saying, did you do this? Come on, I do this thing sometimes, and I do it with my friends, and I'm talking, and I got it from my dad, and I never understood why until recently why he does. He'll ask you a question and then wait for the answer, although he know the answer. And sometimes you can have a million and one answers that seem right to that question, right? But he'd be like, no, and it's this. And they'd be like, oh, I wasn't going to ever get that one. But he waits for me to find the answer, because he knows if it's revealed to me, or if I get to it, or I find it first, then it's not just him telling an answer and I'm leaning on his answer, but I got an answer. Wow. Oh, y'all understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Like it's better for you to know than for you to know that I know, and then you're going to hold my hand because I know. No, you need to know how to get there. Are y'all understanding me? And so now, here's God, and he say, has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee? What's going on right here? If God knows, does God know? Everybody say, yeah, no, yeah? God knew already, right? So what is going on at this particular moment? I heard opportunity to take ownership, giving him a chance to say, oh, God, listen, Father, my creator, I don't know what the words was back then, because we didn't have Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Jesidic and all that. We didn't have all that. It was just God. It was just the creator, right? So I don't know what he was going to call him, but whatever Adam was going to call him, hey, God, listen, creator, listen. Help me, please. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I messed up. And I'm going to take ownership. I know she gave it to me, but I got it. I got it. I'm going to take ownership for this. I should have known better. I knew where we was at. I knew what tree we were standing by. And I just ate it because I just ate it. I'm so, forgive me.
Yes, sir.
Please. Now what God would have done? No ownership. No ownership. No ownership. Didn't take any ownership. Didn't show any remorse. All he showed was fear. And the first conversation with God was a fearful one. Fear, no remorse. So now man takes his lick. So now when God begins to tell, he started telling the serpent what's going to happen to him. Then he started telling the woman what's going to happen to her, right? We know those parts, don't we? And we start telling man what's going to happen to him. And we say, God cursed him and sent him out the garden, right? I beg to differ. I beg to differ that God cursed him and sent him out the garden. You believe God is a curser now. So now your premise of God is cursing man. Your premise of God is whooping before anything else. Come on, y'all. Your premise of God is punishment before anything. When that was an act of grace right here. Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee thou shalt not eat? Grace moment. Space of grace. Come and talk to me and tell me what happened. Even if you lost yourself for a quick second, tell me what happened so we can get it together. This God loves me. Say it. God is not a dictator. We made God a dictator. God is not a dictator or a punisher or a beater or an accuser. He is not that. The people don't come to the church as a whole because we preach him like that. As soon as you witness somebody, the first thing you tell them, you know, if you die tomorrow, you sure you're going to go to heaven or hell? I get it, y'all. I've done it, yo. I did it. I did it, yo. I did it. I did it. Heaven's a real place and hell's a real place. But do we lead off with punishment? Do we lead off with a threatening salvation? Some of y'all got saved because somebody scared the hell out you. Y'all remember them little shows they used to have, the devil, the hell's flame and all that. And now you get up there, little demons run up the aisle and they're like, huh, you saved now. You good and saved. You good and saved. You ain't done nothing wrong to communion last Sunday, but you at the altar. Just give me, I'm just making a checkup. To make sure it's right, because we don't know. We might get in a wreck on the way home. I don't know. And so what you call, I gotta find yourself. Everybody say, I find myself. Yeah. A lot of times what we call faith is actually fear. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. All right. The premise. So man's first time talking to God was out of fear. Y'all heard what he said? I heard your voice. We was good with that one. Amen. Hear the voice of the Lord. And the next thing he said, I was afraid. And so now if you do some Bible study or some Bible reading and just take a little time, the Bible is not just a book of instructions, okay? And God is not just a teacher or a professor. God wants to be your lover. He is your father. Look, the relationship is there already, but you just don't understand. And all that getting get what? And all that getting get what? So you got to get some understanding of your relationship. See, the relationship is already there. Right? But you don't understand what the relationship is. You still think God is just up there giving you instructions. You still think that his whole job up there is to tell you what you need to do. So now when you approach God, you don't approach him for nothing but instructions. But sometimes you need love, which leads to the instructions. So our initial thing was mankind. And the first time he's speaking to God is out of fear. Now, if you find yourself today, a lot of your prayers. Well, let me not talk for you. Let me not speak for you. I'll speak for myself. A lot of my prayers are straight up out of fear. I pray hard in the morning because I'm scared God not going to talk to me. You done it before, too. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to let you go sit with it in the car after you leave here. You prayed the hardest when a problem came up. Shut up and it's spitting. Yeah, you prayed the hardest when there was a problem because you were scared it's going to put you out. Or you were scared somebody's going to die. Or you scared you was going to die. And I'm not even knocking you for that because I'll probably throw my tongue to get strong too. It'll happen. You get it? But a lot of them are out of fear. A lot of our relationship with God is out of fear. Because that's how the premise was set. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If y'all find yourself, it'll change your life. And I just hope, don't try to justify yourself right now. We do this a lot in church. We try to justify where we at so we don't need to change nothing. No, stop for a quick second. Like, understand, and now you're trying to figure out, well, I didn't pray out of fear this morning. No, but yesterday. Right there last time. You was praying for favor for that situation because you thought if you didn't get that situation, you wasn't going to be no better. You wasn't going to be a better person. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. You praying out of fear for something that you already are. And so now your worship, your praise could be out of fear because you're scared God going to be mad at you if you don't lift your hands. I don't need you to be doing something because you're scared of me. Because I'm a tyrant now. I'm a tyrant and I'm a dictator and we really ain't in love. You just scared I'm going to beat you. You just scared I'm going to put my hands on you. And so you scared I'm gonna put my hands on you. So now you I don't even know if you're really doing it. I don't even know if you're doing it from your heart because you're doing it out of fear. Anybody, real quick, we're gonna raise hands. Anybody ever prayed out of fear? Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on, you pray. Come on, come on. And I don't need you to do it for me. Come on, put your hand down. Anybody ever like did a bunch because like you thought that you wasn't gonna have enough? You know what I'm saying? Like you thought that something was wrong with your body, you was about to die, and you thought it's all these different things, and you were fearful. You never gripped to the love of God. You know, the only thing that changes you, faith works by. Love. Right? I didn't got time to go there. And maybe I will have got time to go there in a minute, but perfect love. God has not given us the spirit of
fear,
but of
power,
and
love,
and of
sound mind.
But we see right here. Come on. Can we find ourselves a quick second? If you go back and track, there's some things in your let me not go all the way back to Adam. There's some things your daddy them did that you could see in yourself. I ain't no diss on your daddy. I'm just saying, come on. Ain't no diss on your daddy, your mama, your grandfather, and your great grandfather. No diss. They were who they are. They are who they are. Don't. There's some things that you saw that were taken down just in your direct bloodline, right quick, and you realize that process has been going on since Adam. So here we are in 2017, and we still have a tendency to act like Adam. And we still pray out of fear. We come to church out of fear. Y'all don't want to talk to me right now. We do a lot of different things out of fear. Out of thinking that we're going to miss the mark. You can't miss what you are. You're the mark. It ain't deferred somewhere in the Adam. I'm going to press towards that. No, press inside. Adam immediately, when he decided he wanted to be God, decided he wanted to decide between good and evil. That's what happened. He immediately forgot his form. And now he naked. So now he going to do a bunch of stuff he ain't got no business because he forgot. So right now, here's what Adam did. He forgot his form. He feared because of his failure and began finger pointing. Where you at? Where you at? Who you blame for where you at? Hold on. For a quick second. Who you blame for where you at? Who? And deep down. Now, nobody knows deep down and you besides you. So I'm not even going to do no questionnaire until you to write it on the paper and give it to me. But we're going to lie anyway. But deep down, sometimes you say, well, I prayed and it didn't work. Then I say, well, who fault that is? Well, maybe it wasn't that, or maybe it wasn't that. And you blame somebody. Right? Right? Can we honor two?
Yes, sir.
True? Yes, and so we begin to function that way because of the premise. I understand. But then we come years and years and years into the scripture. And if you go study the Old Testament, they was functioning like that all the time. They were functioning through the whole. I did a search today. Mm-hmm. I did a search today of the word fear. The word fear is in the Bible more than faith. Mm-hmm. Fear is in the Bible 300 something times, and faith is in there 200 something times. Hold on, what's going on? But then I did. Let me. I'm gonna, give me a second. Can I get a second quick?
Yes.
All right, I was gonna take it anyway. So I'm searching in my little app. All right, let's go. And I should have wrote it down, but maybe I'm gonna do fear. F-E-A-R. Did I spell it right, y'all? All right, whole Bible. Entire Bible. 385 times. Keep the F. Faith. 231 times. So then I got my little app kind of fancy. So I can search the New Testament. Oh, y'all got a little fancy app? New Testament, all right. So Old Testament. Fear. F-E-A-R. Times. Faith in the Old Testament. F-A-I-T-H. 2. I love that. Love that reaction. 2 times. That's your Bible. Hey, what kind of Bible he got? What version is it? Is it American Standard Version? No, it's King James, the one your grandmama gave you. Everybody say one, two. That's it. Faith is only in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the old setup. New Testament. Fear. How you spell it, y'all? F. 78 times the New Testament. Fear. Faith. 229 times faith. What's going on? What's going on? There's not talking about much fear in the New Testament. Who we met at the beginning of the New Testament? Yeah, answer me. Who we met at the beginning of the New Testament? Y'all be, who did we meet? Who we met? So now we got a, they call him the last Adam. All right, listen to what I'm trying to tell y'all. I'm trying to show you something for a quick second. They call him the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking under Jesus, Hebrews 12 and 2. I ain't got time to go there. Looking under Jesus, the author. And what's the author? He's the beginning, ain't he? He's the beginning, right? He's the start. He's the beginning of it, right? See, you need to take a new beginning. Jesus is the express image of what God meant for Adam to be if he wouldn't have been on himself. And there's something that Jesus did. And I think this one may touch you a little bit. There's something that Jesus did that it amazed me. Listen, Duke, listen well. Something that Jesus did that the works that I do, if you believe on me, remember that? The works that I do, and the first thing you want to do is go open up eyes, and that's true. And you want to raise the dead, and that's true. And you want to multiply bread. I don't know why you want to multiply bread when you go get bread. But anyway, multiply bread. You want to do all these, you want to do all these things when you see the works. But it, you can't exclude which works you want to do. You can't pick the miracles that get somebody to pat you on the back and exclude the dying.
Yeah.
Are y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
You can't pick the ones that you want. All right? So now we're over here with Jesus. And I'm over on the trail. Now we're over here with Jesus. And it's something that Jesus did that Adam didn't do and that we have a tendency not to do. Adam eat from the tree, and he blamed everybody else but himself. He said it was everybody else's fault when he the only one that had the food in his stomach. You sat and ate, you had dinner, and you ate the food, and you full, and you won't blame somebody else. Never took ownership. So Adam did not take ownership for all of us. He didn't take ownership for all of our shortcomings. He didn't do it. He never said, you know what? I'm this type of person. And I don't know where it comes from, but I'm just the type of person. You ever heard the statement, throw somebody under the bus? Yeah. Y'all done heard that before, huh? Yeah. What that mean? Well, it's time to go. Me and Larry outside working. Something throw up missing. Hey, Larry, it's time to go. Larry was out there. I don't know Larry, right? Anybody ever throw anybody? Don't raise your hand. All right, you right? And many times we do that quick. The devil made me do it. That's you. You did it. Stop. You're throwing on the bus. I'm going to pride myself on being this type of person where I take my lick. Anybody that knows me, anybody that's around me in my office, my people that hang around me, they know I'll take my lick and your lick. I ain't got no problem taking that lick because I know I'm going to live. Amen. I'm going to be all right. I might cry today, but we're going to breathe again. Yeah. Right? I might be living a little bit when I leave, but I'm going to walk straight one day. So, but I don't need to throw Roderick under. I don't need to do that. I don't need to say, well, Roderick was, what they got to do? I was, me too. Amen. So what I'm going to do is say, hey, Roderick, get behind me. I got it. Listen, it's on me. You know, it's some things in the office that we was working on, group project or different things, and somebody kind of missed their part. And I'm not saying I never miss mine, right? And I've gotten thrown under the bus before, right? But there ain't no problem with me because I'm going to live. Is Jesus alive? Well, me too. You can't kill me. And so it's me. I got it. Look, I got that. So let me, can you? So Jesus, here's Jesus. This is what Jesus does. You ready? Jesus says, I ain't did nothing. Lord, if you can't, let this cup pass from me. I didn't do a thing. Jesus didn't do a thing. Jesus didn't do a thing. He didn't do none of that stuff Solomon did and David did. Abraham then lied, talking about it was his sister and it was really his wife. His son did the same thing because of generational curse. Did the same thing, Rebecca. Come on. They doing all kind of foolishness and they all in the line. They call Jesus in the line of David. He and that's his kinfolk. And here's Jesus. And he shows up. And he begins to be expression image of God in mankind, in the flesh, living just like God intended man to have, which is full dominion. There was not one fear in Jesus. Go back and read it. You never saw him scared. Never saw him fearful. You never saw him not knowing who he was in God and who God was in him. He would always call him the Father. You never saw him second guessing himself. Matter of fact, Jesus kept on saying, be not afraid. Be not afraid, it is I. Stop being so scary. Man has a propensity and a habit of being afraid because he don't know who he is. You be afraid when stuff happens because you think you can die. And so you don't have faith to live. You actually think you can fail. You can't. Y'all not hearing me. You can't lose. The only way you lose is when you get out of your identity. The only way you lose is when you forget who God made you to be. You were formed in the image too. Here's Jesus. Here's Jesus. All this stuff, all this crap they did all these years, all those books in the Old Testament, and you got this prophet came, there was all the children of Israel kept on messing up. They kept on messing up. They kept on messing up. And the reason, here's the big problem. The reason that they messed up so much, it wasn't because of whatever you think it was. They kept on adopting the traits of people that didn't know they were like God. Amen. Be not conformed to this, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You cannot adopt the culture. You adapt the culture. You make the culture adapt to you, but you don't adopt it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But if you don't know who you are, you will adapt. And you will adopt. You will conform. You can say what you want. Some of us are conformed right now. You think, well, I don't be in the club. You ain't got to be in the club to be conforming. If you're fearful, you're conforming. If you don't know where your next, whatever going to come from, you're conforming. If you're not making progress, you're conforming. A lot of us are living to maintain what we got and not gaining anymore. I'll prove it to you. I'm going to get to Jesus. Can I go here real quick? The parable about the talents. I ain't got time to go there. It's Matthew 25, right? You start off with verse 14, and it's talking about he came to his service. This is a parable. Jesus telling this parable, and his parable was always explaining what the principle was. Yeah. And he said he came to his servant, and he gave him to the talents according to his several ability. One he gave five, one he gave two, one he gave one, right? And then straightway they say he went his way and left. Now, he didn't say he gave instructions. It didn't say he told them what to do. Go read the scripture. It didn't say, now y'all go put the money to the exchanges. No, he didn't tell them that. He just gave it to his servant because he knew that his servant should know what to do. You've been around me enough. You know you my servant. Do what you do. Be who you are. Come back. Five, got another five. Two, got another two. And there's one. And he said something. He said something just like Adam said. I know, oh, Jesus. I knew that you was a nude, huh? I knew that you was a hard man, and that you gather where you ain't sold, and you get it where you know you ain't nobody can't. He's trying to stroke the Lord. Find yourself. Find yourself. Lord, you're great and you're mighty. And I'm not saying don't say that, but listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Lord, you're great and you're mighty and you're awesome. Stop stroking God. Because God say, I know that already. Wow. Can you show somebody? Amen. Y'all can feel how y'all want to feel about it. Find yourself. Lord, you're great and you're magnificent and you're wonderful. God said, I knew that before you said it to me. You are too. You great too. You're magnificent too. Can you go do something with the magnificentness? He started stroking God. Well, Lord, you're great. You're great. I know you do stuff that ain't even in the Bible to do. You can't. How you gonna reap what you ain't sown? Genesis says, long the earth remaining, right? You can't reap somewhere where you ain't sown. Well, I know you reap where you ain't sown at. Now he lying. And he said, I was afraid, so I went and hid your talent. All right, and I know talent was money at that time, but your gifting or whatever, what you hide? Because you're afraid, because you don't know who you are. And you're just trying to maintain it until you finish. And I finish, and then you're going to say, I finished my course. I fought the good fight. But I don't care about all that. Where are you now? Think about it for a second. Think about it. Just think about it. Find yourself. Find your functioning. You didn't even know you was walking from that premises. You didn't even know you was praying from that premise. Sometimes you didn't even know until you actually realized, what am I doing? Am I scared that I'm going to fail? So I'm praying real hard right now? Or do I know who I am? Right? We can't even have, me and God can't really even have a good conversation if I don't know who I am. Like, we're not, all right, y'all ever talk to them people you don't really know too good, so you don't talk like you really talk? Right. Boy, y'all funny, boy. Boy, we be funny when we get up here, boy. You know what I'm talking about. You know you don't talk like you normally talk. I don't really know who that is. I don't really. But then the more comfortable you get around somebody, but you know yourself, and so you begin to know, and so now the conversation is. Right? Right? It's a little bit more cool, a little bit more smooth. We can hang out now. Right? Anybody ever been insecure before? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have. Two hands. Right? And so if I'm insecure, that means I don't know who I am. Right. And so because I don't know who I am, I don't approach anything like I should. Right. Because I have an identity crisis. Yeah. Even God. Yeah. The lover of my soul. Mm-hmm. I don't know when y'all going to figure it out and when we're going to figure it out, but God loves you no matter what. Yeah. And he's not going to stop loving you. And he's wildly crazy about you. You think about all your foolishness, all the things you had to be forgiven for, and you're still here. What if, I got to get to Jesus, but what if, can we talk about God for a second? Yeah. The Father, everybody say the Father.
Father.
Call him the Father sometimes. Yeah. It'll change you. The loving Father, because sometimes we don't have good Father stories in our lives. And so it makes, no, so the loving Father, the Father that loves me. Yes, all right, call him that sometimes. What if God wasn't up there frowning at you and just waiting to give you instructions and waiting to direct you? And what if he was up there rooting you on? Come on, Torrance, you can do it. Come on, Greg, you're making it. Even in your shortcoming. You get it? What if he's calling your name and like, listen, I know I ain't worried about that other stuff, but you're doing it right now. Listen, I will make a couple changes, but yo, I'm excited that you're here and you're doing it. What if God is smiling at you on a regular? You don't even think that. Because you serious? He's giving me direction and instructions. I had to fix myself doing praise and worship. I used to praise like this. Y'all know how we... And I was like, why am I frowning so much? One Sunday, I just made myself, Father, we love you. And I know I look crazy, but I was like, come on, man, I got to do something about this. It was just for my mind. God rooting you on. Come on, Cynthia, you can do it. Come on, I'm proud of you right now. If you don't do another thing, I'm proud of you. I want you to do more, but I love you right now. Keep going. Come on, you breathing, and you doing it, and you making it. I woke you up because I know you making it. He ain't mad at you, y'all. Stop telling people he mad. Stop spewing that incorrect gospel. He not mad with you. You hear me? You listen to him? My God, right? My friend, right? Yeah, he not mad. He's not upset at all. He'll make some corrections and do some things. That's what a good father, you're a good father. That's what he'll do. But he ain't upset with you. He rooting you on. Come on, you can make it. Come on, you're doing it. Look, yesterday we might have missed it, but today we got it. All right, real quick, I got 2 minutes. All right, let me get to Jesus. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus lifted his hand when he go to the cross. He take the beat and everything. Jesus lifted his hand and took ownership for a whole bunch of stuff that he wasn't guilty of. But I'm going to be a man about mine. And because I love them, I'm going to be a man about mine because I don't know if they can take this beating. So I got it. I did it. All right, watch this. They got a man. I'm going to put you in the place. You ready? Real quick. I'm going to put you in the place real fast. They got a man that came out here and shot 300 people. Murdered them. Cold blood. They dead. He in the courtroom. They went through the whole process. The jury then came back and they said, we unanimously voted. He's guilty. You in the courtroom watching. He guilty. He killed all them people. He wrong for that. He guilty. They wrapped the gavel so the judge make the sentencing. I sentenced him to 4 lifetime sentences. He going to jail forever. He never getting out. Wrap the gavel, that's a wrap. But then when the police come and the bailiff come, they come over there and grab you. They come get you. Oh no, you use your imagination. They come over there and get you. Come here. Now they just wrapped the gavel on dude. He's sitting up there on the court, on the case. He the one who killed all them people. They come get you and start putting the cuffs on you and taking you in. Y'all will get the screaming at the top of your lungs. It wasn't me! It wasn't me! Let me go! He said, that's 20 seconds. Here we go. Jesus, sitting in the courtroom, he stands up and say, I got it. Powerful. Take ownership. No fear, all faith. No fear, all love. Say it, no fear. Father, we thank you right now for this moment. Change us. Change us. Direct us. Mold us. Straighten us up from the inside. Straighten our crooked thoughts out. Straighten our erroneous way of thinking. Straighten the way that we function, God. To know you is to know me. Thank you for it. I'm grateful for it, God. Stand on your feet. I'm grateful for it, God. So I thank you. Real quick on the tail end of that message, and I don't know. But you might be here and you say, I never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I never submitted to his character, his function. I never submitted myself to be like him. And just for a moment, reflect on how God originally made you to be. With dominion and with power, full of love, full of greatness, full of peace, full of joy, full of all those things. It's already in you. Listen to me well, it's already on the inside. Center in for a quick moment. The kingdom of God, all that is on the inside of you. Center in for a quick moment. God loves me. Woo. And his love for me will never fail. Woo, woo. Woo. God loves me. Thank you for your love, God. Amen. You may be seated. Chill out. All right, calm down. You're already in his image. Stop trying to prove yourself. All right? Let him love you. And in turn, love him back. Be cool. Stop trying to be something because of what somebody else wants you to be. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Stop trying to be approved. God has already approved you. He's set away a life, and just get in that line. Are y'all seeing me?
Yes, sir.
And just smile. Come on. Chill out. It's good. It's all good. Say it.
It's all good.
All right, do God love you?
Yes.
Yeah, then it's all good. You dismiss. Amen. You dismiss.